Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Church Online. I am so glad that you're here. Welcome, welcome. For those of you that are tuning in for the very first time, my name is Tim Ingram. I'm the pastor of Highbridge Church right here in Longview, and these are some of my friends, and we have the privilege of bringing you the Word of the Lord today. So I am so stinking glad that you joined us today. I just want to encourage you. You made a good decision. I think that when you start your week off in the presence of God, everything else gets better. Even on your worst day, it's always better with Jesus, right? So if you're a note taker, I'm going to give you a few things that I think will help you and encourage you. If you're not, don't worry about it. Sit back, relax, and just enjoy it. We're going to turn over to Daniel chapter 3. And if you just have to have a different place to turn to, you can put a marker over there and turn to Isaiah 54. We're going to deal with those two specific places there as we get into God's Word. I also want to thank all of you who have supported us financially. Your generosity has been so overwhelming during this crazy season. We are living in unprecedented times, and never in my wildest dreams did I think churches could close and Christians would still come out of the woodwork to support God's work. I'm so completely humbled by your generosity. Thank you very much for giving online. Thank you for supporting us. It means the world to us. And I just want to say that from the bottom of my heart. It means a lot. We're able to help a lot of people, a lot of other churches. Many churches aren't able to do what we're able to do. And your generosity makes a lot of this possible. So just let me just extend my gratitude. That's what it is. It's just gratitude. Thank you. Thank you for supporting us. If you like what you're hearing, click the like button, comment. If you really like it, hit the share button. That means a lot to us when we can take this message and put that out to people and make sure that your world gets a little bit of what you're hearing and what you're encouraged with today. That would mean a lot to me if you would share this. Let's get into God's Word. I have some specific things that I feel like the Lord is sharing with us this week. I was so grateful for the past couple of weeks I've been able to go on vacation with my family and just take a break. And if ever anybody needed a break during crazy times, it's about right now. We've experienced a lot. You've gone through a lot. I've gone through a lot. And sometimes you just need to shut it down and take a break, reconnect with the Lord and say, okay, God, what are you saying? Because obviously things are not normal. Let's just get that out at the forefront. Things are not normal. Yeah. This is not how we normally do church. This is not how I like to do things. I have not enjoyed wearing a mask for the past few weeks. I haven't enjoyed not being able to hug people and get right up in people's faces. Some other people probably have enjoyed not being able to get up in their faces, but I miss people. I miss being around. I miss being close to people and having good conversations. I only get to see this much of their face, and it's weird. But we're living in crazy times. And so as I was digging into God's Word and looking at all the end times junk that is out there, there's lots of crazy prophecy and things that might be on, things that might be way off, things that are kooky, things that maybe we need to know. You know, when Jesus was asked about the end times, he refers back to the book of Daniel. And by the way, just a key for those of you that are new to the Bible, anytime that you read the book of Revelations, which tells us what's going to happen at the very end of our world, it's also really good to interpret it through the book of Daniel. Daniel and the book of Revelations go really, really well together, and they predict what's going to happen. Not predict, they promise what's going to happen. And so as we're looking at the things that are coming to pass in our world, we have to first admit to ourselves that these are not normal times. This is not business as usual. COVID has exposed a lot of things and set some things in motion that we never thought we would see in our lifetime, but things are rapidly progressing. And one of those things that I wanted to talk about today was cancel culture. And in case you're new to those terms, if you're not woke enough to know what those terms are, cancel culture means if I don't like you, I'll get enough people that don't like you to shut you down, to shut you up. And in a time where we're supposed to be celebrating diversity and welcoming all the different things that make us individually unique, we also have this cancel culture that says, yeah, you can be unique as long as it agrees with my narrative. But if it doesn't, then I'm going to shut you up. And so we've seen cancel culture attack comedians. They've attacked, you know, celebrities. They've attacked our history. They've attacked statues. They've attacked police officers. They've attacked anybody and everybody that doesn't agree with the preferred narrative. And as we're seeing all these things become attacked and canceled, as we're seeing all the different upheaval and the destruction of authority and of celebrities, I want to be clear that what I believe is next is, of course, the church, Christians.
Yeah.
We have some very strong opinions in the church. And by the way, you should have not just opinions, but strong beliefs based upon the Word of God that do not agree with this narrative. So it's really obvious to see what's coming next. We've been tolerated for a long time, but we're moving from tolerating to hating the church, and that's coming next. There will be a day coming very soon where the things that are biblical truth will not be tolerated by society. They will not be accepted, and you will be classified as someone that's bringing hate speech. And it's amazing to me that the ultimate message of love, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the God of heaven that sends his son because he loves the world so much, that pure love, the purest love this world could ever know, can be classified as hate. So we're living in a time of cancel culture. The church is next. And so I think it's important as we get into God's word to see what God's word says about cancel culture. And believe it or not, those terms may not be in there, cancel culture, but there's a lot of terms that we use today that aren't in the Bible. But cancel culture is in there. It's just phrased in a different vernacular. So as we're getting into God's word, Daniel chapter 3 is where I want to draw your attention. And I'll just kind of give you a quick summary of kind of where we are in the story. So Babylon, a great world power at the time, has taken over the Jewish people. The Israelites have become now captured and brought into captivity for several hundred years. And during this process of capturing the Israelite people, they decide that they're going to select the best and brightest among these young men, especially, and they're going to re-educate them. And they begin to indoctrinate them with what it means to live in the Babylonian culture. And so this is a very trying time in the life of the Hebrews, because they're canceling out everything that has to do with Hebrew culture and indoctrinating them into what is the accepted narrative. Right. Very much like what we see today. If you're going to be calling yourself a child of God, you need to understand that we are in the world, but not of the world. And there are things that we have to hold true according to God's word that just will not fit in with the narrative of where we're forced to live.
That's right.
And so they not only do they attack their culture, but they attack their gender identity. They emasculate many of the young men. They begin to give them female names. They attack their education. They attack the way that they act and think. They rename them. Mm-hmm. And they say, this is what we're going to do. You're the best and brightest, but we want to kind of pull all that stuff out of you that we don't like and make you look like what we think you should look like.
Yeah.
And so in the process of time, the Israelites have to deal with a lot. They have to put up with a lot. And they do the best that they can underneath those hard circumstances. And they're trying hard to hold on to Jesus, to hold on to their beliefs. They're trying hard to, like many of us are, to hold on to the power of the cross. But yet, it's being attacked. And so Nebuchadnezzar, who's the king of Babylon, he erects a huge statue, 90 foot high, of himself, by the way. And he says, I'm going to invite all the nations of the world, all these famous and important people, all of our biggest cultural influencers to come. And I want them to bow down to this image and to worship this new God. And so if you're following along in Daniel chapter 3, right along verse 8 is where everything begins to happen and cancel culture rears its ugly head. So there's a group of Chaldeans or astrologers, your Bible may say, that they begin to tattletale. Say, wait a minute. Now, there's these three Hebrews over here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're not worshiping your God. They don't worship like we worship, and we need to cancel them out. And so to this point, they had been tolerated. The king's attitude towards them was pretty tolerable. But this enraged him because this was his big moment. He wanted people to fall down and worship this other God. This, of course, flies in the face of what the Hebrew culture was all about, based upon the Ten Commandments. I mean, it's very clear from the very beginning of those Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We're not to worship anything else. And so when he gives this decree that everyone's going to fall down and worship this idol, that's a big deal to the Hebrew people. Like, I'm sorry, there's a lot of things that I can try to compromise and find common ground with you, but there's some things that I just can't. I can't do that. And so cancel culture steps in, and this is where we find ourselves as these three young men stand before the king and have to give an explanation for why they won't bow down. And of course, he's angry. He's hurt. He feels like he's given a lot to them, and this is how they repay him. And so in the midst of people looking to the king and wondering what he's going to do for the people that decided that they weren't going to bow down to this culture, we end up having a very awkward conversation. So they stand in front of him. Pick it up, if you would, and skip to verse 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Like, I'm not going to fight with you. He says, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, and by the way, I want to stop there for just a moment, because the king says, anybody that doesn't bow down to this image and worship it is going to be thrown into a furnace. You're going to become a Hebrew barbecue.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what he intended to do. Mm-hmm. So he says, if we're going to be thrown into this furnace, then look at this. The God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But, and here's an important two words, even if. If you're an underliner, if you have a paper Bible like I have, you may want to underline those two words, even if. This is where I felt like the Lord was drawing us this week. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. And this is where I feel like we're about to walk into as a church, as the sons and daughters of God. The attitude towards the church is beginning to change. We don't worship the same way. We're not following along with the narrative of the world. And by the way, we're not supposed to. So the attitude changes, and he orders, look at this, the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers of his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So he ties them up and throws them into this furnace. And so these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and outer clothes, were bound and thrown in to a blazing furnace. You ever felt like you've had to walk through a fire for a little while? You know, we've been walking through some tough times. A lot of situations have felt like, man, I'm just going from the frying pan to the fire. It's gotten crazy. These are not normal times. Let's not pretend that they are. And all of us are walking through tough times. You know, the Bible talks a lot about perseverance. The Bible talks a lot about having to walk through difficult days. The Bible tells us over and over that in the last days, difficult times will come. We're promised that. The world will try to tell us that there's peace, that there's great things coming, but the Bible's very clear that no, this thing's going to get worse as we progress towards the end. No one wants to hear that, but the Bible also has some very encouraging things to say about those that are willing to persevere to the end. Yeah. That's the good news today, is that he gives us hope. Mm-hmm. And so here are the three Hebrew children willing to face death in order to keep their walk with God pure. I want to talk to you today about how to walk through the fire. I want to talk to you about your beliefs. You know, I had this question that came to me this week as I was putting this together. And it was, you know, if you're not really willing to risk anything for your beliefs, are they worth believing in? What are the things that you're willing to die for? And many of us have, if you've been raised in church or if you went to Sunday school when you were a kid, you've probably heard this story a million times, and you kind of identify with the three Hebrew children, as they call them. These weren't necessarily children. These were young men. But you've heard this story a million times. But I want to pull some things out that you may not have read, you may not have seen, you may have skipped over in your haste to get past a story that you may have known very well. For some of us, you may have never read this story. But there's some powerful truths in here that are still speaking to God's children today. And I think if you'll listen close, there's some things that God will encourage you with as we dig into his word. And the first thing that we have to see is, as we're walking through the fire, and this is the title of today's message, how to walk through the fire. You could underline that with, and cancel culture, which is coming, by the way. So how do we do this? How do we operate? What is God telling us to do as the world is starting to look at Christianity as a threat? How do we walk through that fire? And the first thing that we have to see is, I don't have to defend myself. Come on. This flies in the face, by the way, of our American viewpoints, because the American side of me says, you know, I'm stubborn. I will fight for my rights. I will stand up for this and stand up for that. And by the way, I love this country. I love that we have the right to worship. I love that we have the right to assemble. Right. I love the right to free speech. But I have to remember that my citizenship is not here. Yeah. My citizenship is in heaven. Yeah. And that ultimately, if you read this book through from beginning to end, you never find the words America. It doesn't exist in the Bible. The Bible is not centered around this country. So we have to allow ourselves to go to a different frame of mind where we realize that this is not my home. Yes. And some of the things that we enjoy here are not going to be here forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so as we're attacked, I have to remember that, wait a minute, I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to get completely defensive. You know, I had someone that talked to me this week about, you know, if you stop to throw a rock at every barking dog, you'll never make much progress. And this is kind of where we are. You know, if you're constantly getting defensive as the world keeps throwing you curveballs, you're not going to be very offensive. I believe that sometimes the best defense is a good offense. You just keep doing what God's called you to do. We don't have time. There's another great story in the Bible about a man named Nehemiah who was building a wall and was trying to protect himself from the outsiders. And they kept trying to get him to come down and to talk about it. And he's like, you know what? I don't have time for that. I'm doing what God's called me to do. I'm not going to let you slow me down. And sometimes I feel like we're in a rush to defend ourselves so much that we forget that, you know, here the three Hebrew kids speak up to Nebuchadnezzar and say, look, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. I don't have anything to say. I'm just not going to do it. There's some great scriptures here in Isaiah 54. It says this, and we have to remember this and take God's word as a promise for today. It says, but in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. That's a good scripture, isn't it? It says, you will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken! Exclamation point. What a great scripture. What a great promise from God. You know, we're always in a rush to defend ourselves. But think about this. When they canceled Jesus's ministry, when they hung him on the cross, the Bible says that he was like a lamb led to the slaughter and he opened not his mouth. I don't like that he didn't. I wish he would have said some wonderful nuggets and changed people's mind, but he didn't. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. I don't prefer that way. By the way, when I get angry or feel like someone's violating my rights, when they're taking things from me, when they're making me do things that I don't want to do, I want to speak up. I want to speak out. But sometimes when it comes to honoring God, I have to choose to not get defensive. And remember that God fights my battles for me. And the moment that you pick up your weapons, God lays his down. Trust me on this. God can fight a much better battle than you can. There is nothing that escapes his grasp. And these are the benefits, it says. These are benefits enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Yep. That's a cool thought. Now, let me just ask you a question. Does God still fight battles? Is he still fighting your battles? And if he is, why are you? There's another great scripture here in Isaiah 43. It says, when you pass through waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, I wish he said when you walk around the fire. I wish he said when you walk around the rivers. I wish he said when you take a boat. But he says you walk through. You know, I think we get this messed up mentality that God will always part the Red Sea for us. And he just doesn't. Sometimes you have to walk through the fire. Sometimes it's just part of it. And I wish I brought you better news, but the good news is there's something wonderful that happens inside of this story that tells them they're not alone. Mm-hmm. Romans 8, even Paul writes this. He says, what shall we say then to these things? Or what am I supposed to say about all this? And he answers his own question. If God is for me, who can be against me? Mm-hmm. God is for you. If you call yourself a child of God, he is for you. He is on your side. You don't have to defend yourself. You have a defender and he fights your battles for you. Start relying on him. Yeah. God is my defender. I don't have to defend myself. He defends me. You know, when we get defensive about everything, then we stop moving the ball forward. I think it's just a word for us to stop getting so defensive. Mm-hmm. Keep doing what God has called you to do. Don't stop to come down from the work that God has called you to do. Yes. So I don't have to defend myself. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to worship God. Do whatever you want. But I'm doing what God's called me to do. Yeah. I think that's an important word for us in this season, because when we're doing the right thing, and we have, by the way, we know that the Bible is the right thing. This is God's truth. So when we follow it, we're doing the right thing. And the right thing doesn't become the wrong thing, even if everyone else bows down to it.
That's right. Yeah. Come on.
The right thing is the right thing.
Yes. Amen.
Sometimes the right thing comes with a lot of opposition. It's supposed to. By the way, people don't want to hear truth. Some people don't want love. Some people want to redefine love, make it what they want. The Bible is very clear. And when you do the right thing, you can live with the results. Here's the second thing that we need to remember when we're walking through the fire. And that's my even if needs to replace my what if. We've been surrounded by a lot of what ifs here lately. What if this happens? What if that happens? And some of those what ifs have come to pass. What if this takes longer than a couple of weeks? What if we're on quarantine? What if we have to go back on quarantine? Oh my God, what if we have to wear a mask of the humanity? But you know, in this moment where they're about to be thrown into the fire, They make a great statement. It says, the God that we serve is able to deliver us from this. And he will deliver us from this, but even if he doesn't. I love it. He says, God can, God will, but even if he doesn't.
Yeah.
We need to become an even if people.
Yes. So good.
Even if.
Yes.
I still trust in God. Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even if this is it for me, he's still good. He's still God. He's still working out all things for my good. He still loves me. He still cares for me. He will still fight my battles for me. All my what ifs have to disappear and be replaced with even if. Even if. Even if I have to get into this fire and God does nothing, I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to stop. This is what God has purposed for me to do. You know, I love that they never doubted God's ability, but they didn't assume to know his will either. I don't know what God's will is. I don't know what he's doing next, but I don't doubt his ability.
Right.
You know, I can know what God can do, but I can't predict what he will do. Mm-hmm. So I have to just settle this in my spirit before the battle comes, that I'm going to do the right thing and believe that God can and will help me through this. And even if he doesn't, I know it's still the right thing. Mm-hmm. Even if. Yeah. Here's the third thing to remember when you're walking through the fire, when people are against you, when you've been outed, when you feel like you're all alone, when you feel like everybody else is doing one thing, but God's word was clear and you're going to stay true to what you know to be the truth. The third thing is cancel culture eventually eats itself.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible battle plan. It does. And this is exactly the problem that we're seeing today. The problem with saying, if you don't agree with me, or if I don't like who you are or what you've done, or if there's something in your past that I don't like, I'm going to cancel you out. The problem is you eventually run out of people to cancel out because nobody's perfect. Everybody has garbage, including me. Everybody's got skeletons in their closet. I've got a graveyard. I promise you, there are plenty of things about me that are embarrassing, horrible things. I don't like my past. Thank God I'm not defined by it. Thank God for grace. Thank God for second chances. That's why we have to always go to the perfect person of Jesus Christ and say, he's the only one that lived this life sinless. And he did it so well that we named the whole thing after him, Christianity. It's about following Jesus, not me. It's about following him. And cancel culture always burns itself out. And this is exactly what happened as these three Hebrew young men were thrown into the fire. Look at verse 22. It says, the king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot, the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up them into this fire. And I want you to notice it says, these men were firmly tied and they fell into the blazing furnace. Their what ifs came to pass. Even if you throw me in this fire, well, now you're in it. And in the process, it ended up killing the strong men that threw them in. How hot was that fire? That's hot. Yeah. And it ends up burning those that threw the three young Hebrew men into the furnace. You know, when we start looking at everybody and judging them by their worst days, by their mistakes, we've got some real issues, some real problems, because there's no one that's perfect. Nobody. No, name the greatest people in history. All of them had a past. All of them had things that they would rather have hidden. Yeah. The Bible's very clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
We have great Christian heroes that had a horrible past. Look at Paul.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Look at Moses. Mm-hmm. Just because people are Christian doesn't mean that they lived every moment right. They had major mistakes, huge mistakes. Mm-hmm. David killed people. David cheated on his wife. We have great people in history that you would look at and say, oh, well, but look at this person. Great. Look at our founding fathers. Not so much. Have you seen Hamilton? Have you seen the musical? Well, they have affairs. They're slave owners. And all of a sudden, well, wait a minute. We lifted up these heroes and now they have major issues and we really get into their life. Oh, they weren't perfect. Yeah, nobody is.
Yeah.
Well, let's follow after this person. Let's follow after Muhammad. Well, he had a 12-year-old wife. He had a 9-year-old wife. I don't like that. Let's go with something else.
Yeah.
Everyone's fallen short of the glory of God.
So good.
Well, look at Martin Luther that started the Reformation. Well, he had some really racist ideology. Mm-hmm. Look at Martin Luther King Jr. Oh, what amazing man. Yeah, great man. Fornicator. Cheated on his wife. There are no perfect people on this planet.
Come on.
There's none.
Come on,
yeah. Including you. Mm-hmm. Cancel culture eventually runs out of people to lift up, because there aren't any. This is why we can only put our hope in Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus. Jesus alone. Here's the fourth thing that we need to remember when we're walking through the fire is that this battle today did not start today. And what I mean by that is this. As we read this story, it's easy for us to lie to ourselves, to put us into the place of these three Hebrew young men and think, you know, I will stand for God when those big things happen. When people say you can't worship anymore or Christianity is outlawed and illegal, I'll stand for God. But the truth is, their obedience didn't start that day. It started years ago by what they ate. Their daily diet is where they started being obedient to God. They said, we can't eat the same diet that you have. We're not allowed to eat pork. We're not allowed to eat the things that the common Babylonian culture would eat. They said, those are great delicacies for you. And I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. Eat whatever you want. I just can't. So give us bread and water and some fruit and things like that. That's our diet. And we would rather have those things. You see, the little things that they do every day is what determine their ability to stand when times get rough.
So good.
And what you're feeding yourself today will determine how well you stand tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't lie to yourself and say, when the big things happen, then I will make a stand for Jesus.
Yeah.
No, you won't.
Yeah.
You'll be just like everyone else. It's about what you feed yourself today.
Amen.
Let me ask you this question, and just be honest with yourself. Shakespeare himself said, to thine own self be true. What are you feeding yourself? What are you feeding your mind?
Come on.
Are you full of Facebook statuses? Social media opinions? What's your diet look like here recently?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the diet of your mind. What are you feeding your soul? Because if you're not spending time in obedience to God's word every single day, those hard moments are going to catch you by surprise. It's very difficult to stand for God when every day you're falling for something else.
Yeah.
The battle today didn't start today. Here's the fifth thing, and we'll close with this. When you're walking through a fire, you need to remember that my walk through this fire matters more than I could ever possibly know. It matters how you walk. People are watching you.
Okay.
People are looking at your story. It matters what you're doing today. It matters the battles that you're fighting. It matters that you're walking through painful times. Learn while you're here. There's purpose in this. You know, the world expects the church to burn when they start canceling things out. But guess what? We will not.
Mm-hmm.
We will not. By the way, it's been tried before.
Yeah.
And when people try to cancel Christianity, it ends up exploding.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Look at this in verse 24. So he throws them into the fire. And he sees something amazing that's happening in the furnace that was heated up 7 times hotter than usual. This furnace that had killed the strong men, that had thrown these young men into this blazing furnace. Look at verse 24. It says, King Nebuchadnezzar then leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? And like, well, yeah, there was 3. He says, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. You can underline those two words if you would. Unbound and unharmed. See, they had thrown them in there bound, and the fire had set them free.
Come on.
And there's something I believe that the Lord wants to speak to every single person that's watching this today. Is that when you find yourself walking through a fire, one of the good parts about being in a fire is that it sets you free from a lot of things you didn't need. Things that tied you down, things that have kept you bound, things that have kept you from becoming who God has called you to be, the fire will burn those things off of you.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things that we welcome the blaze. We welcome it because it brings out the best in us.
Yeah.
And it helps people to see Jesus.
Amen.
It invites Jesus into the situation.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got to walk through the fire, and sometimes it's the best thing in the world for you.
Yeah.
Would you still be afraid of the fire if you knew that Jesus was going to show up?
On,
you know, it's easy for us to say, yeah, of course I would stand for God. I would choose the fire because you know the end of the story.
Right.
Jesus is there. It's another thing to not know.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you, if you call yourself a child of God and you're having to walk through persecution for the name of Jesus Christ, He is with you.
Yes.
He promised us in His word, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. So they were bound going in, but the fire set them free. See, we believe that the fire is our end, but the truth is it sets us free.
So good.
He says this about the fourth man. He says, it looks like the Son of God. He goes on to say, he says, they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies and not a hair on their head was singed. You see, they brought him out of the fire and they started inspecting him and looking over him like, how in the world did the guys that throw you into this fire die and you come out? No harm done. Your hair is not singed. Your robes aren't scorched and there's not even the smell of smoke on them. How about that? Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him. They defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god except their own God. They saw a nation change because of their defiance, because of their refusal to conform to cancel culture. It matters when you stand strong for the Lord. It matters when you stop getting defensive and allow the Lord the ability to fight your battles for you. You stand on the word of God and say, I'm just not going to bow down. I don't care what you do, but I'm not supposed to be like you. You can do whatever you want to yourself, but I can't live that way. Your walk with God, your walk through the fire matters more than you could possibly know. It makes a difference. I've said this before and I'll say it again. God doesn't waste pain. And it's not just for you, because the thing that it's producing on the other side can change the world. Sure. Yes. You can't cancel Christianity. The more that people try to do it, the worse it gets for them. Because what happens is true Christianity comes flowing out of it. Yeah. As a matter of fact, this season of walking through hard times, you know what I've seen? Real Christians have come out of the shadows. The church has come alive. They're starting to wake up. They're no longer dormant. That's a powerful thing. They're coming out of the shadows. You know, people will turn away. People are going to fall back. People are going to fall down and worship other things, but not us. We will not bow down to the cancel culture of this world. That is not who we are. That's not who we will ever be. God has called us to bow down to one name, the name that is above every name, and that's Jesus Christ himself. That's who we worship and nothing else. We believe that what doesn't destroy us just reveals our purpose and just makes Jesus shine brighter. Yeah. You see, I believe that Jesus showed up in the middle of that fire, not to just comfort the three Hebrew kids because they were willing to die for it, but he showed up to show himself to a nation that so desperately needed God.
That's right. Yes. That's good. That's
good. He showed that he was real and he was powerful. And our God is mighty to save. Yeah. So we don't fear cancel culture. Mm-hmm. Bring it. We know that we're imperfect, but we serve a God who is perfect in every way. We serve a perfect God who loves perfectly. And he's called us to worship him with all of our hearts and nothing else. I choose to do that. You know, I've seen during these tough times, I've seen a lot of people fall away from Christ. I've seen a lot of people that their Christianity was based on how comfortable we could make them, how we could cater to their needs. Many people have fallen away. We've seen that happen in droves. But what I've also seen is that the people that really honestly have a walk with God, that are willing to walk with God when it gets tough, when the rubber meets the road, when life gets hard, when it gets heavy, those people have shown up and it's powerful. Something is awakening inside of our hearts. We say, we will not go quietly into the night. We're not going to vanish without a fight. Do you remember that from Independence Day, the movie? And the president stands up and starts speaking and they're like, my God, no, we won't. We're going to defeat aliens. What will it take for something to rise up inside of you where you'll take a stand for the Lord? You won't just bow down to where our world is going. What does it take? I want to encourage you today. God is here. He's with you. He's fighting your battles for you. And he's encouraged you to take a step towards him, to come closer to him, to feed yourself every day from his presence, to not bow down to anything else, because we believe in the process. God is revealing our true purpose. The church doesn't die. In case you've read the end of this book, the church gets pretty strong. And the more that we're persecuted, the stronger we get. The more that we press into Jesus, the true church. I want to encourage you today to be part of the true church. Have a relationship with him. Get strong in your fellowship with him. You know, in spite of a global pandemic and losing friends, losing jobs, losing money, attack on worship, the fear of assembling, race wars, defunding the police, tearing down statues, in spite of all those things, I'm still standing. Mm-hmm. And so is the church, because Jesus is standing with us. Mm-hmm. How about you? You're still here. You're not done.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage you this week to spend some time with Jesus. Things look awfully dim. Things look crazy, but God is still good. I'm still here. You're still here. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about it? Let's not waste today. Today matters. Spend it for Him. Mm-hmm. My friend, if you don't yet have a relationship with Jesus, this next part is for you. I want you to know that there is no hope without Jesus. Mm-hmm. There is no hope. And if you only follow along with what the rest of the world says is the preferred narrative of the day, it's going to leave you wanting. Because that, by the way, that always changes.
Yep.
It always changes.
Okay.
You know what doesn't change? Our God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change because He doesn't have to. He's perfect. And He's inviting you to have a relationship with Him right here today. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, today is the day for you. Please hear me. Don't let another day pass without inviting Him into your heart. You need a relationship with Him. I need it too. I was so lost and so messed up. My life was a mess. But He saw something valuable in me. He saved me, changed my life. And He's given me the ministry to help other people find Him too. That's my heart for you, that you would find Him too. His perfect love is amazing. And I want you to know that. I want you to know His love. I want you to know His truth. There's no words to describe how amazing a walk with Him is. So if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, or maybe like me, you used to know God, but you've gotten away from Him, and you need to come home. I want to lead you in a prayer right where you are. Would you pray this with me? I'll just pause in at the end of every sentence and give you a chance to repeat this with me, but I'll help you like somebody helped me one time. And the prayer goes like this. Just pray with me. And the prayer is simply this. Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe that You came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I ask You to forgive me, to save me, to heal me. I give my life to You right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friend, if you just prayed that prayer, I am so proud of you. I want to just say, welcome home. I would love to get in touch with you. I'd love for you to send me a message if you would. Would you text the words, I prayed, all one word, I prayed, to 94090. That would mean a lot to me. If you just let me know, hey, I prayed that prayer with you, Pastor. I asked Christ to come into my heart. I would love to just hear your story and to hear what's going on in your life. I love you, and I can't wait to see the amazing things that God does in your life. Let me tell you, the world is crazy. But God is the everlasting light, and He wants to help you. He wants to know you right where you are. Would you do me a favor? Send us a text. And if you liked what you heard today, would you click that share button? That would sure mean a lot to me. I love you all. God bless you. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week.